be silent for many years since Jesus left this earth and went to heaven. Definitely, heaven is a planet. Therefore, no real communications between heaven and this earth has ever been established. The reason God did this, so to walk by faith to believe. A day is 1,000 years between heaven and this earth, and it's nothing 2 days for God. God has watched the population grow and increase, watched the diseases and all the heartaches and all the joys that's on this earth through serving Him and serving Jesus, His Son. And the communications between God and between this earth and people on this earth has been by private communications, by individuals who have had faith enough to believe that there is a heaven, there is a God, and there is a Holy Ghost, and there's Jesus and angels. God makes this communication not public, so it's by private interpretation, by private connection between man and God. Because Jesus said, when you pray, go in the closet. And the communications that I've had with heaven has always been private, by myself in heaven, and by the Spirit, and by the Spirit of God working in my life. It's very real to me, my communication with God in heaven. I like the words that says, friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine, oh what sweet communion, Jesus is a friend of mine. I'm setting up in my room a cup of wonderful communion between Jesus and I, because every morning around 2 o'clock in the night time, I get visitations from heaven, and to have wonderful fellowship with Jesus and to know that He's in the room with me is a wonderful experience. So therefore, I'm going to turn to chapter 4 of Revelation. John on Patmos, he had a wonderful experience. He had his input, but he put it in writing. And after this, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard, says John, was that as it were of a trumpet, talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter, that is today. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And it goes on to what the throne looked like. The most wonderful part about it was the communications that John had with eternity, with heaven. It's there. What is communication was so wonderful? Because he was immediately in the Spirit. In order to have connections with heaven, you must be in the Spirit. Now it goes on in the third verse, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. I saw that throne in heaven. And I also saw the rainbow round about the throne. And he goes on in the fourth verse, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in fine raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, heaven is a spectacular place. And this wonderful visitation I had to heaven, that is my soul, I saw these things that John said. Now, either we got to believe it or throw the whole Bible away. But it's true, there's a heaven, and there's a God, and there's the 24 elders that John saw. It goes, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Now, there's 7 spirits of God before the throne. Spirit of conviction, spirit of love, and all these different realities of the move of God to man. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. If you could see this spectacular sight of these four beasts right around showing the living reality of God. God is a living life, a living spirit, and a reality that created all things. And the first beast was like a lion, just looking like a lion. And the second beast, like a calf. And the third beast, the face of a man. And the fourth beast, like a flying eagle. These four beasts with these faces shows the creation of God, the great creation of God in reality. And then, as he saw this talking trumpet, voice, and he heard as that of a trumpet talking to me, heaven is full of music, full of singing, full of wonderful music playing. It's a gigantic place of activity. Very, very clear. And the four beasts at each of them, six wings. Now, they had six wings about him. They call it a hymn. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Meaning, there's absolutely the reality of heaven is forever, will be always through all the age of eternity, for God is the God of the heaven. And when these beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. Can you imagine? Try to imagine life forever and ever and ever. Now, where did we all come from? Why are we here? Why are we walking around this earth? Answer that question. You can't, can you? Because there has to be an origination. The life in man is the life of God. And the 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and to power, for thou art hast created all things, and for thy pleasure, and our work created. All this is for God. This chapter I've read to you shows the great reality of God of life. And then he said in the fifth chapter, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proceeding with a loud voice, claiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, or was able to open the book and to look thereupon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seals. This was Jesus. Jesus was the only one could open the book, because he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary in that book. And behold, and lo, in the midst of the throne and on the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, and had been slain. Here is Jesus. Right there, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. It was Jesus standing right in the midst of the throne. There he was, in the throne of God. And the seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, set forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the book. Jesus come and took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book from the four beasts and the 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, who are the prayers of the saints. There you are, the prayers that go up before God. Here was Jesus that shed his blood on Calvary, the only one worthy to open the book. Why was he the only worthy? Because he had shed his blood on Calvary for you. And they sang a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wert slain." There was Jesus, was slain. He was slain on Calvary. That's what I saw in heaven, slain on Calvary. And had, this is a wonderful, wonderful part of the book, and had redeemed to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And behold, I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which was in heaven, and on the earth, under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all are in heaven, saying, Blessed, and honor, and glory, and power unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Friends, Jesus was created by God this way. God took his own spirit, his own self, to make a person, Jesus, and called him his only begotten Son, to come upon this earth, to walk the shores of Galilee and the Jericho road, and go back to heaven, to make himself known in the midst of the great throne of God that he was there. What a wonderful reality. And in 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, I have wonderful fellowship with angels coming into my room, and friendship with Jesus, fellowship divine. Oh, what sweet communion I have with Jesus, the one that conquered sin, death, and the devil, and conquered all of the diseases and all of the heartaches and all the troubles, and went willingly to the cross of Calvary, and there I saw him in heaven. In his wonderful majesty, the Lamb of God, the one that was slain on Calvary, there he is in the midst of the throne, went there, and his words that he said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare the place." Now, we are building a guest house here, not a house for myself, but a guest house to share with the people. Now, after seeing these beautiful mansions in heaven, hundreds of them before the throne of God, prepared for us to live in heaven, what in the world do I need a big home down here? No way, because it could never fit the architecture and the beauty of my home in heaven. So beautiful. Have you ever stopped to think of that? An earthly home will fade away. You may put money into these big homes. You may do that, but it'll be no use to you when you leave this earth. But my mansion in heaven, got any mansion beat upon this earth, the beauty of it, and the beautiful cover, and the beautiful walls in heaven, and the walls of all of them. There's no mansion. You can have one with 100 acres, 20 acres, 50 acres, 10 acres. But it'll not even touch the ones in heaven. That's why I'm just building a guest house here. Because I want in my guest house, or our guest house here in Panama City, I want to share it with others as they come down to visit to this place. We're building this Panama City satellite village here. It's going slow, but it's sure. If you remember, it was almost 2 years ago that I talked about putting out a big book. Now it's a reality. The book is out. We're shipping it. One man ordered 7 books today. 7 books. And he wanted them to give to his friends. And that's what, because the book is doing a lot of good. But when we do write my life story, and which will be 1,000 pages, we'll give a lot in detail of how this all happened. But more, I'm making a map of heaven. Now, this is a spectacular reality and a big, big job to do it. Because no one could do a map of heaven without knowing something about heaven. And this map is going to be in detail according to the 2 million miles around it. It's going to be absolutely according to proper measurements. And, sitting right in the middle of heaven, this great city of God, where the throne is. And where you'll see it, you'll see the size of heaven on one side, the whole of heaven, and then the other side, the other half, 4.5 feet of just the city of God. It'll be 9 feet long. Now folded up, you'll be able to put it on your wall. It'll show the planet heaven on one side and the city of God on the other side. This is a big job. You couldn't do something like this in 2 months or 3 months. It's impossible. Because it has to be brought down to detail, and it must be accurate. It must be absolutely accurate according to size and measurement as I saw it. Coming inside of heaven, and you can see all across God's heaven. Now, trying to think in your mind, how can you see across 1 million miles? Try and look across America. You can't do that. You can't even look from one valley to the other. Sometimes you're shrouded when you're behind a mountain. But in heaven, it's different. Everything opens up to the eye, the spiritual eye. And there is this vast, great heaven, which I saw, like vast, great heaven, a tremendous heaven. Then in this heaven is all of the beauty of it, the glorious beauty. You think of the angels. I want to read this one verse again. John, when he saw this, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat on the throne looked like jasper, and he goes on. But then there was another there, Jesus, who looked like a slain lamb, was there in the midst of all that great city of God. There he was. John saw him, and I saw him too, sitting there. God opened up heaven to me because I desired to go to heaven. And having this fellowship, which I do with Jesus every day in my room, and have breaking communion, I'm going to start breaking communion with him and have my communion every day with him because he's so close and so real to me. How would you like to be in a room in the middle of the night and wake up and find these spiritual beings visiting you in the room? Heaven visiting you. Heaven visits me every morning in the early hours of the morning. A wonderful time. And I'm going to be going to heaven. I went, my soul went to heaven and walked around in heaven with Jesus and with the mother of Jesus and with my mother and many others as we walked around God's heaven, going in one of the chariots from off the top of the city four square and flying all around those thousands and thousands of miles around the throne of God. That's what's in store for you, friends, if you'll only just serve God. And way you just think, now you can't just, it's very easy just to sit down and say there's a heaven someplace. Just to say it. Now I believe it, and I'll find out when it's going to happen. But I want to know what the end's going to be. I want to know what's going to happen after death. I want to know what's out there, eternity, and I found out. This was the desire of my life, to find out if there's a heaven, where it is, and all about it. So I got down to business with God. And for almost 7 years, I've told you many times, I prayed, O God, let me see thy heaven. And I did, because he saw my desire, and he saw... Now, men of God of the Bible days did the same thing. They got in contact with heaven. They saw many of the heavenly things. Here was like Simeon, who looked down into little Jesus. He said, Behold, my eyes have seen the salvation of the Lord. And these prophets of the Old Testament knew there was life beyond the grave. They absolutely knew it. And so they began to make contact. They began to make contact with heaven, and they got contact with them. And Elijah was so taken up with heaven, that he didn't stay here. He just left in a chariot and went to heaven. And I saw him in heaven. Elijah went body and all. He didn't stop to just go with his soul. God took his whole body with him and took it up there. Then there's Jesus, who was there. Behold, the Lamb of God, His body was there. Other bodies there in heaven. And as God began to bless them with eternal life, the most wonderful reality, be blessed with eternal life, and know you're going to live there all through the ages of eternity. So my fellowship with Jesus in the early morning is a spiritual contact, and a spiritual contact with the heavenly beings, with the angels, and with all the elders, and all of the four beasts, and all the whole operation of heaven. Now, if you'll just try to think of this great throne, there it is sitting there, fire, like fire, and out of the throne is coming these tremendous lightnings and thunderings and all of the great power of God, showing life and showing power and showing how great God is. Now, just try to think of these elders with eyes in the back and eyes in the front, one looking like a calf, the other one looking like a lion, the other one looking like an eagle. It's so wonderful to see that flying eagle. Now, the eagle has a record of flying high, going up high, nothing better than an eagle to soar through almost over the mountains. And therefore, this kind of brings to us what heaven's all about, what heaven is. Now, it's an activity of music playing, of bells are ringing, of tremendous harps are playing, and millions of people worshiping and praising God. So then, let's look a minute at the mansions. Now, if you were given a mansion upon this earth to live in, big mansion on a, let's say, 2 or 3 acre piece of land, then you got a big gate to go in it, back in there. But it's down on this earth. It's held under gravity. And that's nothing like this great heavenly mansion waiting for you. Now, why would I want to build a place like that, occupy a place like that, when I got one so beautiful in heaven? I've got one so gorgeous and so beautiful in heaven, I saw it, went inside of it, and no earthly mansion will touch my mansion in heaven. So beautiful. Can you imagine a mansion all so beautiful, all decorated with beautiful diamonds and pearls and onyxes and the walls gold and jasper and all these things? That's right. And then so beautifully, you can sit in there in awe. And my soul sat in there looking directly at the gigantic throne of God, right out of the front of it. And the cover so beautiful, and all of inside of it just almost hundreds and hundreds of feet, square feet of mansion. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful stories, beautiful stairways, and so beautiful. Can you imagine a stairway in your mansion made out of solid, beautiful, looks like marble, and with gold carpets looking like gold going up the stairway, and all a tremendous place like a living room? We can look down from the second story out of kind of like a banister along there, looking down at that gorgeous, beautiful living room in your mansion. So beautifully decorated and so beautiful. You can have all the mansions we want on this earth, but that one that I've got in heaven, your mansion will not touch it. Your house will not touch it. There's no architect could even build one like it. So it's so gorgeous and so beautiful. Try to, and then looking directly the scenery to the throne of God. But that's not all the scenery that you can see. You go upstairs in the mansion about the fifth story. It's 7 stories high, same as the throne of God. Your mansion is 7 levels and 7 stories high. In my Father's house, Jesus said, "Are many mansions, would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you, and that where I am, you may be also." But going up to the top of the mansion, you can look all over God's heaven, look all over the beautiful mountains, look over the valleys. You can look at the most gorgeous scenery you could ever look at in your life, your mansion heaven. But down, if supposing you've got a home somewhere and you look across, all you can see across the street at the neighbor's coming home, you can't see very far. Your eyes can only carry out there sometimes a few miles. And so your scenery is limited. Your view is limited. It's limited by other man-made things. It's limited. You go to Washington, look in the White House. Go in the White House, look out. You can just see across the street nothing but a bunch of houses and offices. Therefore, and you go, even the Taj Mahal in India, you go look at that. You can't see very far. Very few of these earthly mansions have very, very, very much view. I'd sooner get on the top of a mountain in Kentucky or Tennessee someplace, get up there in a little cabin and look and see the scenery of God. I don't want to be stuck in a great big mansion down in some town where you can hardly see across the street. But heaven's altogether different. Altogether different, friends. Here you get in your mansion, and you go up to the seventh story of your mansion. Look all over God's heaven. You can look back and see the wonderful gates of heaven. You can look over another seat, see the whole beauty of heaven right out of your seventh story in your mansion. And it's so gorgeous. And then you have friends to come in. Now, to be in your own mansion in heaven, you visit you from all nations under heaven. They'll visit you in heaven. The souls you've won, tells you right here, out of every nation, kindred, and tongue, will be in heaven. Every nation, every kind of a nationality, every kind of a person, Aborigines, Indians, East Indians, Africans, and all of these different ones of this earth, and the Europeans, and the Occidentals, and also the Orientals, and all of these come in there, even the Eskimos. That's right, and then from down, all there in heaven, to visit you in your mansion, the souls you've won, walking up and down these massive stairways looking, and so beautiful, and all the gorgeous tapestries there, and so wonderful. And I'm telling you, there's some mansions, friends, they're great, and not only no mortgage to pay on it, no mortgage to pay off, nothing to pay, built by Jesus himself. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He is the chief builder of your mansions, and he's well able to do it. And under the instruction of his Father, he's building these mansions just for you. Now, what would I want a great big house down this earth for when I got something like that? All paid for. Jesus paid for it at Calvary. Don't have any mortgage. No, you can't sell it. It's yours forever. Live in it. You've got no plumbing to plug up. You've got no electric to stop. You've got nothing like that. No water is going to be shut off. Nothing like that. It's all supplied by God himself. And Jesus the light. Now, can you imagine something lit up by Jesus? You won't have to collect electric bill. I've got a $1,000 telephone bill. Got to pay it. Don't shut the television off. Shut the telephone off. But it's all by the royal telephone. The communications are beautiful. You can be in your and you say you got a dime. Of course you got a dime. What do you need a dining room for there? You eat the fruit of the vine. Fruit will be brought into your mansion. Just sit there and eat all the fruit you want. And you'll be able to partake of the beautiful things of heaven. That's wonderful. And this will be a 12-hour series of tapes. 12 hours of it. 12 hours of wonderful, wonderful blessing of heaven. Next tape, I'm going to take you into some of the other buildings of heaven. And friends, not only that, we will also have this great map of heaven. Going to be a lot of work in it, this great map. A lot of work. Be folded up. And we'll be able to send that to you. It'll take weeks and weeks to make it. If something is not going to be done in a minute and all sloppy looking, it's going to be a beautiful artist done. The artist is going to do it filled with the Spirit of God. And he's going to go along. May God bless you is our prayer. See you next time. Half of this tape, I believe, is going to be really good for you. A lady drove all the way from New Hampshire, come down here today, just ask questions about heaven. That proves and shows the interest there is in this wonderful great planet heaven. It's a planet. One question she asked me first was, what kind of animals was in heaven? And I told her, the animals in heaven are God's creation, recreation of the animals upon this earth, even every living thing that has been on this earth is recreated in heaven, except the snake and the mule. The mule is left out because that's a man-made species. But also she wanted to know about the prehistoric animals. God's got them all there. When you think of the four beasts around the throne of God with all the eyes in the back and front, now they throw their crowns, and these are tremendous four beasts, tremendous. Therefore, I saw the dinosaur in heaven. I saw the prehistorical animals and the crystal sea. And that's not the sea of glass, the crystal sea is full of all the fish that were created upon this earth by God. The fish is all in the crystal sea, even the whale and every one of them, God's creation in there. But they're not, absolutely not vicious now. The shark is not vicious, neither is the whale. Every woman is very docile and very, very easy to get along with. Then if you remember going to the lion, you can go and pet the lion. Now that you don't pet lions upon this earth too much, especially when they run wild in the jungles. So I went and petted the lion, humored the lion. And the lion said, praise God, in God's language. And then the tiger, especially the Bengal tiger. If you ever see one of those tigers and meet one in India, they're a very vicious-looking animal. Their eyes are very, very piercing. So the tiger there, in their habitat in heaven, I went among the tigers and I petted the tigers, humored the tigers, and they just let me rub their necks. What a difference in the viciousness upon this earth. Then also the lamb and the lion and all of those working together in heaven with no bitterness or no thought of killing the other. This is heaven. So this was the answer to her question. Next question she asked was, how is it that there's an outer perimeter? Is the outer perimeter in paradise the same? And here's what my answer was to this lady who drove all these miles to give me these questions. If you remember, the Queen of Sheba went to Solomon and asked these questions. And she went to see Solomon's great glory and his all of about his great palaces and all of the temples of Solomon. And she said the half has not been told. She was beside herself when she saw everything happen, the Queen of Sheba coming out of Black Africa. So here's when this lady comes to ask me these questions. And here's what I told her, the half has not been told. When you think of the lion and the lamb and the fuma and all these walking together, you don't need any kind of people to clean up the mess because they make no mess. But the recreation of everything upon this earth is in heaven. So beautiful and so precious. Now, if you look, I've been in the jungles of South America, all over the many of the jungles, walking through the jungles. And there's many birds there in the jungles, tremendous birds, wild turkeys and you name it, they're there. Some of them have claws so long, if they ever settle on you, they could claw your eyes out. And then there's the different animals. There is the leopard, and there's a red leopard. There's a red animal. These red in the jungles of South America. And I was warning to get close to a leopard. And in heaven, there he is. There's the leopard there. There's the black panther. They're all there. So beautiful to be able to walk around them and even talk to them. And they're all, every one of them, are in absolute harmony one with another. And that's tremendous. Birds. The South American Indian can take a blowgun and shoot many feet into the tree with a poison and bring a bird down out of the trees for their food. And in heaven, you could, the large bird, the vicious bird, come down and walk alongside of the lamb and don't even try to bother the lamb because they have been conditioned by God's Spirit. If you notice in the Bible, time will come when he pour out his spirit, says the word, upon all flesh. Now, it doesn't say human flesh. It says flesh. Pour out his spirit upon all flesh. There's that reproduced flesh of the animal in heaven. And that's a wonderful sight to see them, to see a bird come and settle on your windowsill. As I said, mansions of the soul winners are seven stories high. And it's nice to see the birds up there sitting on the corner watching around. But not one bit of mess do they make. When the birds on this earth, they'll sit upon your roof, and there will come, they'll splash down on the ground and make an awful mess, and you have to clean up. There's no cleaning need in heaven, because it stays immaculately clean. And also then when you go out into the interior of heaven or into the mountains, going through the mountains of heaven, you find that they're the beautiful valleys of gold. Thousands and thousands of miles of beautiful mountains and valleys and lakes, all in there, the creation of God, much better than He created this earth, more beautiful. So then you can go out and take a trip out among the lakes, among the gold mountains. Take a trip out in the lakes and go and take a trip out there with your children. And you don't even wait till Sunday afternoon. You can go any time because there is no time in heaven. No time. It's endless time, forever and ever and ever. Can you imagine going out in the mountains of heaven, spending hours with your family, because we'll be known as we're known. Families can be together if they want to, or they don't have to. Go way out into those mountains to explore what God has created and what God has made. This is heaven I'm talking about. And I'm going to keep on about heaven for the rest of these tapes, which we have several yet to make before we make the 12. One of the most spectacular things that I saw in heaven was the most wonderful, wonderful light coming from above. Now, when you look up from the inside of heaven, it's like a sky, but yet it's round. Now, a lot of people thought of heaven as some kind of hunk of gas up there, something floating around, and your soul would become a bird or become a toad or something. I don't want my soul, my body to become a toad and go walking around. No way. But there's those people, some believe that. They believe the incarnation of a person into a bird or into I sure wouldn't want to be a stoat or a monkey or all these kind of things. But there's monkeys in heaven. There are monkeys in heaven, the most beautiful. There's every kind of a monkey in heaven. So beautiful. And they know their place and they don't make any mess. And that's beautiful. And then there's also calves in heaven. It tells you one of the beasts looks like a calf. Now, these calves are pretty calves bouncing around with their tails cocked up, having a good time in the lands in the part of heaven. So you tour through heaven. Now, you remember, you've got 2 million miles around heaven. So then you go up there and see a bunch of lambs skipping around in among the mountains, having a good time. Then you see the monkeys going up the trees, just like New Year, having a good time. But yet no controversy between them. Absolutely no feeling of jealousy between them. And they don't have to grab food because there's plenty of it there. Plenty of food. There's no hunger in heaven. There's just plenty, unlimited supply of food, an unlimited supply of everything, an unlimited supply of everything a person needs forever and ever and ever. Can you imagine? No human mind can understand that, but it's so. What I thought was the most wonderful thing, to see these giant frogs jumping around, chirping. They're making different noises. But there's no time in heaven. Now, a set of drums make a beat. So you make a beat with drums, and you keep time with drums. But the drums in heaven have a definite, vibration. In other words, they don't stop. When they beat the drum in heaven, it doesn't mark time like I'd say, like that, nothing like that. It is absolutely a continuous sound, so beautiful. And so, you've heard of a tuning fork, of course. How that works, when you once ring that tuning fork, it'll keep on ringing. And then there's the conch shell down in southern Florida. And that conch shell, you can bring it out of the winds, you can bring it, take it everywhere you want to take that conch shell and listen to it, and it's still whistling the winds. That's a phenomenon itself. How you could take that conch shell and get it down in Key West or some of the islands down there. Bring it clear up to Panama City or all even up to Washington, D.C. Put it on the shelf, pick it down, and it's still whistling the winds. Well, there's no time on that because it continue whistling of the breeze and the winds in the conch shell. That's a wonderful creation of God. It's the same in heaven. There's absolutely no beat and no time, so you do not need a clock in heaven. And there's no such thing as night, so what do you need to know what it's night? What do you need to know anything about night? Because there's no night there. It's all beautiful, bright, and beautiful and real. Then the children. When you can see the children playing around, can you imagine a child trying to climb on a lion's back, and then the lion lays down and let the child get on the lion's back, and he'll walk around with the child. That's heaven. It's complete harmony, every part of it. So that little child naturally look at that lion. Now, if a child looks at a lion caged up, they shouldn't be caged up anyway, to my opinion, but caged up, like a caged lion. So the little boy goes along, looks at the lion, and then when he looks at him, he's scared to death because he's scared he may come out of the cage and hurt him. But that lion is not that way in heaven. The lion lays down with the lamb. So here's this little boy playing among the lions, playing among the leopards, playing among these animals. And they in perfect harmony, because I saw this little child trying to get on the lion's back, and the lion laid down and kind of nudged himself to get the child on the back, and then started walking around with the little child. That's heaven. Heaven is not a place of battle. It's not a place of misunderstanding. It's not a place because it's absolutely 100% harmony. Then another spectacular reality in heaven is going out there over the crystal sea and watching the birds fly overhead. Now, the birds in the sea, especially the seagulls, they fly over the sea, and you got to be sure that you don't get something on top of your head or on your nose or someplace. Not so in heaven. They are absolutely pure and clean and lovely. And their singing is gorgeous. They're singing as they sing. Instead of that noise they make upon this earth, the seagulls go over the crystal sea with a beautiful sound, in tune with all the music of heaven. In tune together. It's all in tune. There's not necessary for a little group over here playing the organ, another group over there playing the harps and all this kind of stuff. It's all in one great big tune together. Then going into the needlework house where the angels are making the wedding garments with the fine needles. They're all singing in there. Now, in America or in the world, you go into a factory where they're making things, it's a chore, it's labor. And they work there, and as soon as they watch the clock, they're gone to go home, and I don't blame them. They used to call them sweat boxes, but there's still plenty of them left today, where they go and sit at a sewing machine, some as long as 10 hours all day, and then run home to cook their husband something to eat or the little children something to eat. That's the way it works a lot of places, but not so in heaven. Here's these angels, thousands of them, in the needlework the wedding garment factory, making the wedding garments and singing. And it's no chore for them to do the fine needlework, as God has created the garments for you, the cloths and the garments. And the most wonderful part about it, they're making every one to fit somebody. To fit somebody. That's right. And they know the measurements thereof, because God has even got the hairs of the head of people's numbered. Now, that's something, that's what the Bible says, that God has got everybody's hair numbered. But these angels have your size. They have your size of what size wedding garment you're going to need. That's right. So then they've got it made beautiful with the sleeves, and when you leave this earth in the first resurrection, that's the resurrection of the followers of Jesus, the followers of Him. And as you go up into the air, away into the outer space, there is your wedding garment going to come floating down, and it will make contact with you as you hold your arms up. You'll go right in it, and your sleeves, your elbows, your hands, all of your hands will go right up through the sleeves, and you'll be clothed with going the wedding garment on. But that outer space is such a gigantic place. Now, the city four square is coming out of there and stay in outer space for 3.5 earthly years. It's not going to go back right away. So the wedding supper of the Lamb is just not going to be an overnight affair. It's going to last three and a half years in the air. And that first resurrection is going to take place in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ will rise first. And there they'll go and meet Jesus and the angels all in the air. Now then, that great big 15 cubic square miles of building will start upward. And it's upward. Upward to the big window of heaven. Then it'll go on inside the window of heaven. The window of heaven is made 1,600 square miles. So the city four square will go right through that gigantic opening into heaven. And God will set it right back on its foundations in heaven. And there it will stay forever and ever and ever in heaven. Set right its place, right next to the throne, and right next to the temple. Now the temple will not be moved. The temple will stay there, and that's the temple where the worship of God takes place. Now, try to imagine in your mind how that temple will look towards the throne of God. Everything in the city of God, I'm not talking about the mountains out there, the city of God faces towards the throne. So there's God on his throne in his majesty, in his great power, the great I Am, the great Creator, the one God, Jehovah. There he sits upon his throne, controlling all things of outer space, controlling all things of the universe, controlling all things, everything, through the whole tremendous, tremendous outer space. God is controlling it all. And the new earth. Now, there's a new earth there. Now, there's going to be 1,000 years, and what's going to happen? We're going to be able to attend the new earth. Now, the old earth, John saw that very clear. The new earth in heaven, next to heaven. In other words, not too far away from heaven, in the same part where heaven is. And there's this new earth. So you'll be able to go out of heaven and travel in outer space. And you won't have to bother with any kind of vehicle to go. You'll travel by and through the Spirit of God into any planet there in that part of the universe. You'll be able to travel to new earth. What a wonderful sight that's going to be. You'll spend 1,000,000 years starting to explore eternity, and you will not even get started. So look at billions of years of being able to explore all what's out there. How gigantic and how precious. Now, remember, I only spent 5.5 days in heaven. But all of this, how could a person put all that in his mind in 5.5 days? Impossible. So how do I bring it to memory, what I saw? By through the power of the Holy Ghost. Your mind. I have fellowship with Jesus in the early hours of the morning. My fellowship is with Jesus. So I'm fixing up a communion table in my room that I can have communion with Jesus every morning. That's wonderful. But in heaven, there is a special communion. And that communion is the communion together of all of heaven as they'll drink together the fruit of the vine. What is the fruit of the vine in heaven? The fruit of the vine in heaven is all the wonderful juice and the fruit up there. And it'll be in liquid form. Now, you might drink a Pepsi Cola, Coca-Cola, or something like that. Just forget that taste, because the taste, I drank of the fruit of the vine. And it was the most wonderful, delicious taste that you ever imagined. The taste was so beautiful. So the fruit in heaven. Now, think of pears, grapes, and all kinds of oranges, and grapefruit, and every kind of a fruit conglomerated together in one great, big, wonderful fruit, and then eat it without stalks, without pits, or without skins. I want to tell you, that's a wonderful feeling, not to have to peel it, not to have to wash it, not have to clean it, not have to spit the pits out of your mouth. Also, there's no such thing as grapes. The wonderful grapes in heaven, clusters and clusters and clusters of big grapes. You can pick them off the trees all over the interior of God's heaven. Go out and get yourself some grapes. And there's absolutely no pit to spit away or no skin to chew on. It's all fruit. It's wonderful to see all these fruit trees in heaven. Millions and millions of fruit trees. So going out into the interior of heaven to explore heaven is going to be wonderful for you to do. Why spend eternity elsewhere than heaven? Now, that's the point, that in heaven there is such precious and wonderful and real realities. Another thing so beautiful in heaven is to look at the flowers. Could you ever see a bed of geraniums and roses and all kinds of violets and all kinds of wonderful, wonderful tulips and lilies? And just think of all your favorite flowers. How would you like to walk through a garden, hundreds of miles of walks between all the flowers? These flowers grow in and never fade. And the smell and the odor of those flowers in heaven, most gorgeous and beautiful odor you can imagine. Roses so red and so yellow and so blue, even blue roses, all colors of the rainbow in the flowers. And then the trees in heaven. There's trees, and also on the outside of heaven. Come out of heaven, and there it's a planet on the outside. But yet, it is controlled by and through the fire and the power of the Lord God Almighty, the Creator of all things. Now, one of the most beautiful things that I saw was a baby starting to grow up to the age of 7 years old. During the 5.5 days I was in heaven, during that time, that little baby was growing, an aborted baby, growing to be up to 7 years old. And they stay that age, about the size, and they stay that age to play all over God's heaven. Nobody going to get run over with an automobile up there because no automobiles up there. No smell of gasoline, nothing like that. So there you are in the midst of glory, in the midst of reality, in the midst of truth, in the midst of the creation of God. Then when you think of these beautiful fish. So what was a spectacular thing that I saw? This whale. Now a whale is some animal. So is a shark. Some animal. A shark. But here this shark come up. Look. Now listen to this. And here the little boy got on the shark's back. And the shark took him sailing out there and brought him back. Now that is what I call holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. That shark had eat him up here. And the barracuda is a vicious little fish. Not up heaven. The barracuda's flying around. And then the big whale. The whales in heaven come to the edge of the, like a beach in heaven. And you can 6 or 7 get on the whale's back and go flying, going, it's a wonderful time. It's a place of anything to do of occupancy of the mind. The mind becomes perfectly, perfectly satisfied. And so does every part of your body becomes perfectly satisfied with it. This lady that drove all the way from New Hampshire to come down to this earth. I mean, come, talking about almost was feeling like in heaven. Come to Florida to ask me these questions. And the question she asked, I satisfied her. She was writing it down on a long piece of paper, answering the question. Took it back, taking it back. She's going to be in the prayer meeting with us tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock. She wants to pray. She's going back to take these questions answered back to New Hampshire. Now, I've also had questions from all over the world coming in. Questions from everywhere. The letters come in because the Oriental always believed there was a place somewhere beyond this earth. So what did I see in heaven? Now, when you think of the glorious part of heaven, try to imagine now in your mind Chinese, Japanese, Koreans, South Americans, Africans, Europeans all together in one harmony speaking the same language. Why do they speak some one language? Because they have been endowed by the Spirit of God to speak the same language. Back there at Babel, they were all with one language, one mind, that back there. But in heaven, inside of heaven, you do not need a teacher to teach you how to operate, because what you do when you get there, you worship God. You get into the worship of the Lord, and when you worship the Lord in harmony, and He recognizes your worship. He recognizes that you love Him, and He loves you, and that you're enjoying your millions and billions of years in heaven. Life. Now, death comes by the sword, but life in heaven comes by the Spirit. It's a spiritual walk with Jesus in heaven. Another most wonderful thing, when I looked at the slain lamb, before the altar of God, there's a lamb, a tremendous lamb. And this lamb is laying there, right? And his feet are pierced as if blood has been coming out. And there's a gash in the side. This represents Jesus, when he was a slain lamb, all right in heaven. But then there's also the women in heaven. Beautiful, beautiful looking women. Beautiful. But there's no sex in heaven, so you don't have to worry about any jealousy. No sex in heaven at all. You don't need it, because you're completely satisfied with the conditions in heaven. You're completely satisfied. It's the ultimate joy for everlasting. Ultimate joy. And the feeling that was in my soul when in heaven was spectacular. I had a glorious feeling all the time. So beautiful and a glorious feeling. And that feeling was so precious and so real. But now hearing, the human hears, not like human hears in heaven. The ears in heaven are so acute, so they can hear anything. And you can pick up the tunes of any part of heaven. When you think in your soul mind, you can think so beautiful, because you're keeping your mind on God, on Jesus. And He'll keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Him. So then what you're doing, you're being kept in perfect peace. What a wonderful reality. And there's no such thing as heavy breathing. No such thing as trying to get your breath. No such thing as that in heaven. Because it is celestial air. The air, the breath of God. When you used to sing the song, "Breathe on Me," the whole of heaven is full of God's beautiful, beautiful air. I want to send you special letters. I want to, when you recognize that you've listened to this tape, write and tell me that you've listened to them, and God will bless you, because it's wonderful to know that you're happy. We've had all kinds. We've had testimonies come. May God bless you. See you, or be with you on the next tape. God bless you.